From time to time, the news stops us in our tracks. And when that happens, Lori and I usually talk about it off air. This season, we're opening up those conversations with y'all. We're calling these episodes op-eds because they're our opinions, our thoughts, prayers, and feelings about the current events. This week, we're talking about the Norfolk Southern train derailments. If you've been here before, you know we cuss, and today will be no different. If you're new here, please get used to it.
You know, I always want to say something right after you say that.
Like,
yes, motherfucker, please.
Exactly.
You know, I'll find any reason to just cuss. It's just,
it's just
an exhale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's mm-hmm. exclamation point. Just
It's anything you need it to be.
Yes.
The jewelry of words. That's what it is.
Girl, I like that. Or the perfume.
Yes.
Yeah.
The best accessory.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, we are back again with my cousin, Harley Dave. And like I said in the previous episode with her, she is one of the most informed women that I know. And I love having conversations with her about what's happening, what is affecting us, how we're feeling about it. And when I saw what was happening in East Palestine and in Springfield, Ohio, I immediately thought of her and I wanted to bring her back on and have another conversation with her. So welcome again, Harley.
Hello. Welcome.
Yes. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yes.
So
Harley, we're going to start with you and okay. I'll ask you what's been better.
Like I said, just being in a better mental state space now that my post-op, post-surgery has happened. I'm healing. I'm starting to get back in the regular groove of things. I just started driving again after a month of not driving. So super
That's
excited
awesome.
About mm-hmm. that. And just like mentally and emotionally enjoying the relief of having had my surgery. And just like actively not, I guess, disassociating sometimes because I just, since Roe v. Wade, I was just like spiraling a little bit. So I'm just enjoying the present.
And that's so huge.
That's good. That's really good.
Yeah. Congratulations to you.
Thank you. Seriously.
Yes. I know that was a whole lot. So I'm glad you're on the mend and I'm glad you're getting out there and. Yeah, back to living
your
life.
Next week will be 6 weeks, and then I'll be back. No restrictions, nothing anymore.
Wow. Oh, that's good. Wow. That's good news. Yes. Okay. Yes, so Sylvia, what's been better with you?
Well, I am back home. I went to see my mom for a week, and of course, that was just awesome as usual. Did a bunch with her garden, which has now expanded.
I saw.
Holy cow. Mm-hmm. I am feeling overjoyed because this show reached 1,000 downloads.
Yay!
So,
yes,
I'll probably put out 3,000 posts about it, or I might not. I don't know yet. I'm just feeling everything right now and seeing the news right now has me feeling a certain way. So I'm going in different directions, but that kind of brought me into focus.
Yeah.
And so it was
feels like you got your foot in the door.
It does. And it feels like all of the hard work, all of it has been worth it.
Yes. It's paying off.
Yeah.
And congratulations, Sylvia. I want you to know from me to you, how much I appreciate you, right? And that how these 1,000 downloads really wouldn't be like that. Like, we wouldn't have them without you. And I need you to know how much I notice the hard work, right?
Thank you.
I appreciate you so much. So
thank
I just you. Want you to know that.
Thank you. Like, thank you for sticking this out because I was not sure where this was going. And thank you, Harley, for being a listener since the beginning.
Of course.
Honestly, like, I appreciate it. I appreciate every single person that I know listens,
actually
that
listens.
Yes.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Y'all, I had a crying
moment. I love
the
journey
earlier.
From the beginning to now to this $1,000.
Well, and, look, and from your ear, your mouth to God's ears.
Please claim
multiplied
right.
by
multiple
10, times.
Manifesting. Times.
Yes.
But yeah. 1,000 downloads. Like it's. I'm so excited for you guys. Like I'm so happy for you and where you guys might go from here.
Yeah. Yes. Oof. And I'm thankful to the listeners and to all the listeners from all over the world. Like
yes.
when Sylvia she was telling me where, like Ireland and mm-hmm. And
Japan
and Russia and just all the different places.
Scary. I love the list of countries that you guys are yes. being listed to, and like that's amazing. You literally yes. are around the world.
Yeah, I think you mentioned Australia at one point. Yeah, it was just yeah. So I'm very thankful to all the listeners, and my prayer, and I know Sylvia's prayers too, is we hope that this finds you in a way that's going to make your life better. Yes. Like that's the main hope, that we really hope that this podcast will help our lives, your lives, be better than it was yesterday.
Yes, mm-hmm. please. I pray the same exact prayer, honestly. Yeah. Well, what's been better for you, Lori?
Yes, so I got a chance to hang out with a good friend yesterday that I hadn't seen since COVID hit.
Oh, wow.
Crazy that I hadn't seen her in 3 years. And it's crazy to imagine that it has been 3 years.
Yeah.
It feels like no time has passed, but all right. the time has passed.
Yeah. Right. It feels like 8,000 years has passed, but it's also mm-hmm. like, that was yesterday, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's wild. So I'm thankful to be in 23. I'm thankful to be that far away from mm-hmm. COVID. And I'm seeing more and more that people are out and about. And my hope is that we are taking care of ourselves. What else? What else has happened? I'm having clarity on a lot of things. I've been doing a lot of praying, a lot of soul searching
okay.
for my next steps in life. Mm-hmm. And so I'm getting clarity. And that's a real, real good thing because I have been... in a valley of decision, if it will, if you were, okay. as were, and not really knowing and feeling confused. And I don't like to ever feel confused about anything because, no. you know, that's an awful feeling to have. So I'm so much better. And so clarity is beautiful and I'm very thankful for that.
Cool.
Yes.
Well, so. Before we get started, if you haven't already, hit the subscribe button, share this, like it, do something with it. Don't just keep it for yourself. So let's have this conversation because watching the news in the last, I would say, pretty much all of February has been wild. So many things have happened that have had environmental impacts that were already... really bad environmental impacts, but like to add this on and to add it on and to see it mm-hmm. happen like right in the backyards of the people that I love has rocked me. So I don't know how y'all feel about it, but we only have this one planet, and to see it being harmed in ways that I know are preventable is it just is so jarring because I'm like, come on, y'all. Wake up. Mm-hmm. We don't have to do this. We don't right. have to do this. We don't have to do this. And we keep doing it. And yeah. we keep kind of gaslighting people into believing that it's not that bad or that mm-hmm. it's just kind of like, oh, I mean, you know, like, no.
Which yeah. that's the part that always makes me enraged.
Yeah.
I spend a lot of time when I think about the decision our government or corporations or even just people that I know make every day that directly harm our environment. We depend on our environment to live our life. Mm-hmm. And you're directly doing something to harm that. I'm just so angry.
Yeah.
And it's been hard trying to focus that anger on something useful or productive.
Right. Same.
Or just at least absolve it within myself a little bit so it's not taking over my life. or disrupting my relationships.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So. Yeah.
Well, Harley, what are you doing to prevent that? From preventing this from interfering with your relationships and your life?
Well, I realized trying to just like not, just trying to, I should say, like not listen, not read, not keep myself updated, was actually doing more harm than good, because then I was just spiraling on what I already knew. So it's definitely a delicate balance between keeping myself informed, but making sure to recognize when I start going down these rabbit holes, intense rabbit holes of, you know, who did what and why, and basically trying to trace this problem back to the source. And I'm trying to do that at home. Like, I'm not a professional. This is something that I can't really do. But here I am trying to be my own private investigator and do that.
Right,
and
then right.
having to realize, well, if I do find out this information, what can I do as a private citizen about this? I mean, I'm not in that boardroom. I'm not lobbying. And honestly, I would hate to be a lobbyist. Fight all the time.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of, looking for those triggers and taking the step back, and then really like recognizing the relationships and family that I have, and making sure while all of this chaos is happening, I'm still keeping up on these relationships. I'm still watering these relationships. I'm still making sure that the people closest to me, at least I have a direct impact in their lives, and me being angry all the time isn't helpful to them or me.
Right.
So I think that's the most that I can do right now.
I completely get it.
Yeah.
I completely get it, because it reminds me of when I was writing. I was writing about so many things that were happening like right in front of me, and it was just like overwhelming, because you're like, how do I do? What do I do? What can I do? Is there anything I can do? But you have all the information that is available.
Yeah.
And you're like, anybody that you talk to, you want to talk about it, but those people are not informed, and they're like, I don't want to talk about it either.
Right. Like, you almost sound like a conspiracy theorist to them. Right. It's like, it's right there in black and white.
Yeah. Oh my God. Like, it's so there, y'all. It's there. I know that you see it, you know, like, oh. For me, it was the same thing of like police brutality, police oversight, all the surveillance that was happening. Like, I was writing about there being more than 10,000 cameras in Atlanta, and like people weren't blinking about it. They weren't even like, they were just like glazed over, like, okay.
Yeah. And that reminds me of that movie, Don't Look Up.
It's the same.
I love that movie. I've watched it a few times now, and because it's just like, that's exactly what's happening right now.
Don't
look up. No one's looking up.
Right. Because it's the ultimate gaslight. It's the ultimate you don't see what you see, you know. And the whole point is to find that balance. Because you can't lose your mind trying to convince others to care about something that you care so passionately about.
Yeah.
But then it's like, what can you do in your own space to make a difference?
Because it's like, this is going to harm you. There's no other way to tell anyone else this. Like, it's like the train derailments didn't happen right by Harley, but they're close enough, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So people that are in and around your area who are like, oh, you know, no big deal, it's like, we are downwind, we are downstream, it's coming.
It's gonna happen.
But what do you do? And then to see the people who live in Springfield, who live in help me,
what's East the other Palestine. Place?
East Palestine, who live in East Palestine, who are directly affected, who themselves were being gaslit. Like, oh, it's no big deal. We're doing this to make it less impactful.
Yeah.
You exploded a train with toxic chemicals. I don't think this was going to be less impactful, because we're not living under a dome like on The Simpsons. Like, this is
Which is wild to me. Is it, and you know, I'm kind of in and out, but they exploded to the train to cover up, or they
to cover up, to basically help, like as a part of cleaning up, to burn off some of the so it wasn't as toxic, but really all you did, it's a carcinogen already, so all you did was make it worse.
You literally just accelerated the process.
So because this is, somebody didn't ask for somebody else's advice? Like, did they think this thing through? Like, this doesn't even make sense.
Well, I think it came down to, because Norfolk was already under fire for financial, like not using funds to actually keep up on the train system and all of that. So I think it was more of trying to get it done quickly as possible and not in the best way for the environment and the people who live there. Just basically, just one big giant sweep it under the rug. But what you did was you burned the rug while you were trying to do it.
Right. Yeah. And you just ultimately made everything worse.
Right.
Yes. And then I think also, not to sound conspiracy theorist again, but seeing that the president didn't show up, that you're just sending whoever and sending whoever days and days and days and days later also has implications to me of like, well, what are we doing? Because I see you going to Ukraine and I see you cutting checks to Ukraine and I see you saying we're going to stay here and do these things for them for as long as they need. Wow. But it's like, yes, we should help whoever we can help that is not an American citizen. Yes. But, like, this is in your backyard.
Right.
Right.
This is us. Like, I don't want to sound like a nationalist or anything like that, but, I mean, I don't know how not to when Americans that are hardworking Americans that are just trying to survive everything that has already been thrown at us are being just kind of like, oh, they'll be fine. Let's go cut another check to Ukraine. Let's go visit Ukraine.
Right.
So what does that say to you, though? Because there is something there. Like, what does that say to you?
It says to me that we are being devalued and that we need to figure out a way. Again, I say this every time. Figure out a way to get on one accord and get on one accord quickly. Because there are more of us that are being impacted than are not.
Right.
And I think it's very scary when I see people just kind of have that glazed over look and it's right there behind you. It's it's happening to you.
Right.
And I think it's also very scary that we live in a time of corporate media controlling these narratives so minutely. I mean, like the number of train derailments and 18-wheeler overturns that have had toxic chemicals in the last 45 days that we don't know about because they're not, they are public knowledge, but they're not broadcast out.
Right.
But I promise you, we can tell you more details about what's in Ukraine, how Ukraine looks, what the weather's like, how many people have been harmed, what Russia's doing, all those things, or Turkey and Syria, or how excited, this is another thing to like segue off of this, is like people being excited about it snowing and raining in places where it never snowed before.
Oh my God, come on.
What I am like, are we talking
why
about?
Why is no one like, what? This
don't
is
look
insane.
Up, y'all.
It's
don't
really,
look
oh
up.
My God. So don't I just spent up. A week in Arizona. And I know that people go, Arizona, it doesn't get cold there. Okay, first of all, let me just tell you, we get every single climate there. It is beautiful.
Right.
You could get in your car and you could be skiing and you could get in your car and you could be tubing down a lake. It's a thing, okay?
Right.
But to see it snow in places where it's like the temperature don't get low. Yeah. It should not happen.
Right.
To see like Southern California, people are being caught off guard because they've never owned a shovel. They don't own tracks, the chains for their tires. They don't have a 4x4. They're just like, we go to the beach. Like, what are you talking? To see that, and then to juxtapose that with like watching the news and the newscasters being like, this is so delightful. We have
it's a winter wonderland.
Day.
Yeah.
What?
And it's like, yeah, same thing with, there's been some more snow in Albuquerque, where my mom's side of the family is, than there has ever been before.
Yeah.
And yeah. My family telling me about it, like, can you believe we're going to get 2 inches? And like, 2 inches in Albuquerque is like unheard of.
Yes.
Wow. Yes. When you're in the valley, it stays pretty dry throughout yeah. the year. No, like you are getting more snow in the last few years than ever before.
Yeah. So yeah. Harley, what does that say to you?
It says that we are too small to be important in the eyes of our governments, in the eyes of big corporation. It just, you don't matter.
Yeah.
We don't matter.
Yeah.
The people who actively keep this country going, your corporation going, you only got where you were because of us.
Yeah.
And yet you could care less what happens to us.
Right. Yeah. Right.
It's hard to is a task to keep believing that you matter when there are so many things that tell you every day
that you don't. Yeah.
That you don't have a voice, mm-hmm. that you need to just go back to normal, which normal again was not working for everyone, that that your voice can be silenced very mm-hmm. easily because you are informing, mm-hmm. not trying to scare. I also want us to get out of the idea that because I'm giving you a negative truth, mm-hmm. that it is scary or that mm-hmm. it is harmful.
It's a personal attack against you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would rather have a negative truth than a positive lie.
Thank you.
Any day.
Mm-hmm. Right. And a positive lie. You know what I'm saying? How that's a contradiction in terms if I ever heard one. You know?
Think about it. It's a delight that it is snowing in San Bernardino. We're making it less impact by exploding this train full of harmful carcinogens because it'll be less impact. Well, no. You've literally just said harmful carcinogen.
Right.
Like,
well, the whole point to me, I think, is to distract.
Yeah.
Is to say, you don't see what you see in this hand. Let me show you this hand.
Yeah. Right.
What's over here in this hand? It's a little bit better over here.
Absolutely.
Because you can't handle the truth.
Oh.
You see?
Yes.
How the hell are you going to tell me I can't handle the truth? And then the other thing is, as we talk about this, what are some possible solutions? Because where do we go from here? The spillage is taking place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The overcorrection has caused more damage.
Mm-hmm.
And we have snow.
Right.
That's never snowed before, which lets me know that it's a major sign of the times. Mm-hmm. It's really letting me know that a lot of things are wrapping up before our eyes that we don't even recognize.
No.
And so I'm curious to know from you all, if you were the president, what do you do about this? Or if you were anybody in the role of power, what happens?
Wow. I think a lot of courageous conversations have to happen.
Yeah.
I think we need to tell people the truth of, like, your water's dirty, your soil is dirty, you know, the air isn't clean either. And here are real tangible steps, piece by piece, bit by bit, that we can try to mitigate these circumstances. They're not going to be 100% impactful right now,
mm-hmm.
but over time, it didn't take 5 minutes to get here. It's not going to take 5 minutes to get out of it. So all this waiting around and we just have to see, and that's going to take too much time and we don't want to do it. We've got to at least start.
Right.
Because I don't think that we're even trying.
Right.
I really don't think that mm-hmm. we're too worried about inconveniencing people.
Or looking bad.
Or looking bad. Yeah. So I don't think, I think somebody has to stand up and be the quote unquote bad guy.
Yeah.
Who's going to help us.
Right.
And people aren't worried about that. They are worried about staying in power. They are worried about not letting the other group get power. They are, you know, so if it was me, I'll be the villain if it means that I'm going to make sure that children are not harmed the way that they are being harmed.
Right.
I would be the bad guy to tell people that, like, hey, even Social Security and what is it? Medicaid Part Z, the prescription part of Medicaid, that being toyed with right now. So it's like you have people that are quote unquote on their way out being hurt, and you have people who are just now getting here being hurt.
Right.
Somebody has to be okay in this situation, and I would rather it be the masses than a select few who aren't helpful.
Taking accountability, because if no one is taking accountability because everyone is pointing fingers at each other, then you'll never be able to even break down the steps to begin to make it better, to resolve the issue, to actually fix it, even if it takes 5, 10, 20 years from now. If no one is taking accountability, we'll be right back where we are. And so I think that would be my biggest thing, is accountability.
Right. Just let's own what's going on.
Right.
So that we can move forward.
Yeah.
Because
I don't think the ownership part of that is as difficult as people have made it out to be in over these decades. I think it's a conversation that you have to have with these largest countries in the world and the largest companies in the world to say, hey, our impact is really harmful. We cannot keep blaming this on the quote unquote third world countries who could never have this kind of impact. We have to look at ourselves in the mirror and go, okay, we've got to stop this. We've got to stop acting out. We got to be good now.
Right.
Or just stripping it completely down to what political party you are a part of or you identify with.
Right.
That stops a lot of things right then and there.
As it relates then to these toxic chemicals just being wasted in Ohio, and then even to a larger degree, because now they've there's been an explosion, it just made it worse. Now what though? Like, how do we make this better? Like, if we're owning it still. Yes, we fucked up. Somebody fucked up, you know. Then what? Do we evacuate these people? Okay, they have to leave this area, or what happens? What happens to these people that have been affected?
I think doing more than, what did they cut them, Harley? Like a $1,000 check at the beginning?
It was like...
What the fuck?
It was $1,000, but it was like thousands of dollars compared to the fact that they made billions of dollars in profit last year. When you see that kind of big disparity in a cleanup or in a mess this big, this prolific, when we don't even know exactly what's going to happen, that requires long-term funding as well. Not just a short-term, here's $25,000, figure it out. And then we'll just go right back to business. No one really knows how far and deep this impact really is. So that means also not only taking accountability, but actually mapping out a plan, a long-term plan of how you're going to have this resolved, or how you're at least going to keep monitoring it so you can figure out how to resolve it.
Right. Makes sense. Because we're also still living in a country where healthcare is privatized. So giving those people a check, knowing full well that that check is not going to cover any kind of medical procedures that exist in this country, because we don't have the universal healthcare that we should have.
Right. Or just the fact that you don't know what you can do medically. Because, I mean, a lot of people, like my friend personally, like I said, for a week she had headaches. I mean, how do you quantify that and go to your doctor and be like, I've been having headaches for a week? Well, we know what the cause is, but medically, like, how can we pinpoint that in your body? That's going to take long-term medical care.
right?
Medical documentation. So cutting someone a $1,000 check, yeah, it's not going to last. You have to plan. You have to make a plan for this. And no one is doing that. They're not even willing to entertain the conversation and admit what happened, or at least begin the process of cleaning up. So if you can't even do that, then long-term care is out the door.
And we're doing this all while we're still in a pandemic.
Right. Yeah.
It might not be as active as it was 3 years ago, almost to the day, but it's still the impact of that.
You still have to quarantine if you get positive for COVID. So it's definitely still a factor.
Yeah. And the hospitals are still under stress from that. They haven't recovered. So now you're adding in however much long-term care that these people are going to need is, you know, it's the impact goes a lot wider than just Springfield and East Palestine. Right. And all the other places where there were derailments and 18-wheelers overturned and factories being shut down because of whatever they were doing. I mean, so many things have been happening to people.
And it's been happening.
Pipelines, everything.
Yeah, for longer than people realize, at a frequency that people don't realize.
Yeah.
I mean, I can Google now actual environmental disasters from accidents like this, and you'll be shocked to realize that probably within a year there was like 50 last year. I don't know, that I'm just saying off the top of my head, but it could be that high, and you're like, why have I never heard of this?
Right. Right.
But the ultimate thing is, even if we've heard about all of them, right, then what? Like, what happens? Because one like when I share with you all, like hearing these different things, my heart just wants to explode, because it's like, what happens now? So what happens to all these people? How do they get cared for? Like, you know, and then if I hear about that multiplied times however many it happens to,
right,
and all of the people who are affected by this, who really don't have a voice.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. They don't have a voice. And then you have people who speak for them who don't care about them. Right? And so my ultimate thing is, where do we go from here? And how do we heal? Do we heal? Can we heal?
I always have hope that there's a possibility of healing. Because I always have hope that better is possible. I don't have like a solid, this is exactly what we do.
Yeah.
But I do know that whatever we do does not involve the top 1% who are looking to make money out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It involves all the 99% rest of us who say, okay, we are going to, as a micro situation, try to figure out how we can impact a macro situation. Mm-hmm. So, to me, I think educating people is the very first thing.
Yes, yes.
Planning, like Harley said, is the next thing.
That's awesome.
I think then you get moving piece by piece, because once everybody knows, hey, this, and this are happening, we can start speaking in a way together. Because when you think about it, let's think about it like this. If you wear a Republican hat, you get a script every week that says these are the things that we are all going to be on one accord about, and they stick to it. You know, think about how long and how hard they said, we do not want Roe v. Wade. We do not. And they said it, president after president, senator after senator, speaker of the House after speaker of the House. This is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. And they just kept chipping away at it, kept chipping away at it, because they stayed on brand for that thing. They've stayed on brand of, we want small government. They've stayed on brand of like very specific things. And they've gotten those things that they wanted because they've been on one accord. Democrats and liberals, we can't agree on basic shit.
So true.
We can't agree, do we want to be Democrats or do we want to be liberals?
Right.
We can't agree that we want to have unified front on this or unified front on that. Well, shit, we could have all of it.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't start fighting.
Right. What do you think that's due to?
I think because people think that they are allies and they should just be working on being good people.
Right. Mm.
That's awesome. Need to be a human first.
Yeah.
Fuck a label.
Yeah.
Damn every label that you could come up with. Yeah. I'm an ally. I'm a liberal. Mm-hmm. I'm Democrat. I vote for this. I vote for that.
I was just about to say there's so many subdivisions when it comes to being a Democrat or a liberal.
And those motherfuckers are just conservatives. Mm. That's it.
Yep. Wow.
That's all they are. They are fiscally responsible conservatives with family values. Think about it. Think about every single one of them. But if you heard a Democrat, you could be far left, you could be centrist, you could be liberal, you could be Green Party, you could be all these different things.
Grassroots, yeah.
Pick a script and stick with it. Get on one damn accord. If we could get on one accord, we would not be in these fucking situations. Because when you think about it, we gave you the presidency. Mm-hmm. We gave you the Senate. We gave you the House. You had all three. How the fuck did you blow that lead? You blew it because you couldn't agree with who you wanted to agree with about what we were going to do. You stood around and argued about what we should and shouldn't do. And you wanted to work across the aisle with Republicans. Fuck that. They didn't want to do that with us. Look at them now.
Wow.
What are we holding hands with people that have disdain with us for? Wow. Why are we still trying to convince them that we are we? We ain't been we for a long time. They never wanted to
be. We never been we.
Fuck are we standing around waiting on them to be we with us? They have an agenda. We do not.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We better get an agenda real quick.
Yeah. Or? Or what?
Or we keep handing it over to them and we keep giving things overturned. Don't say gay, no Roe v. Wade, no infrastructure.
Bans. Stripping education,
We know what all of it looks like because there are horror movies about all these things.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I think there are precursors out there.
Absolutely.
Like certain movies that's been out.
Absolutely.
And it looks like it's to say, let me show you all what's about to happen. You know,
we are crossing over to life imitating art now.
Right.
I mean, I often joke, but I think it's very true now. Idiocracy was a documentary. Mm. I think the movie Idiocracy was a documentary because that's where we are.
Yeah,
that is literally where we are. We are in Don't Look Up. And we are in Idiocracy because holy shit.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, it's almost like an avalanche.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's just going to keep getting worse.
Yes.
It is.
Mm-hmm. And man, I hate to feel or think or be hyperbolic, you know, just.
Yeah, but that's.
But I think this is just the reality of this thing.
That's real.
And I think we just need to start bracing ourselves, which goes back to us even having this podcast, period, is to help us to recognize what's in front of our face and deal with it.
Yeah.
Not run from it, because that's basically what, you know, Sylvia and Harley are saying. Like, they're saying, listen, face this shit head on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't hide. Don't try to come in here and present me with some pretty little lies.
No.
You know. And with this information as we're getting, because it's really gonna hit us. It's like when I wake up on Monday morning, like I'm like, what the hell happened over the weekend? Because I know something happened, right? Some kind of calamity, some type of killing, something happened, because that's what's been programmed to happen.
Yeah.
And so it's like we're being prepared for it. And how do we set our hearts right in such a way to be able to deal with the calamities of the world? How do we get our hearts right? And I'm curious. I'll say for me, I really tried to center myself every day, mm-hmm. you know, just to be prepared for whatever, because I don't know when my last day is.
No.
I don't know when the last day for my children, you know, I just have to mentally be prepared. You know, what do you do, Harley, for yourself to just be prepared?
Well, I try to remember this because when I read it, just resonated with me. It was someone had tweeted, wanting a livable planet is not ideology, it's survival instinct. Yes. And I think that for me is like, especially when someone is like, well, oh, you're just so like a tree hugger hippie. Like I've heard all of that being described, to me, like that's who I am. And I'm like, but it's more than just like, you know, oh, I just want to be vegan or, you know, I'm trying to survive. I'm trying to live. Mm-hmm. And so I'm also taking that as when I'm living, when I'm trying to live, I'm trying to survive. I'm trying to do it, with joy, with whatever amount of joy that I can find in that moment, in that day, with my relationships, with the people that I love, because it's going to be hard to survive without that network, without that group of people around you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So mm-hmm. it's just trying not to give into the feeling of tucking my head in my shell and you know, living within me and my circle and just completely blocking out the world. I want to raise all of us up together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we can face this together and have an actual community, a sense of community. So
yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
What about you, Sylvie? What are you doing?
I try to make sure that because I am purposefully informed,
mm-hmm.
I intentionally disseminate that information regardless of the impact.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like regardless of whatever the information is, mm-hmm. we have to know.
Yep.
Whether we feel like it or not,
yes.
We have to brace for impact mm-hmm. because it's happening.
Right.
I constantly say, like, the earth don't like us. We have fucked up and it's trying to evict us.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I want to be on the good side where they remember, like, you were less harmful.
Right.
I see you over there, Sylvia, trying to help us out. I'm going to hold a little space. I'm not going to crush you like a
dome over you. Yeah.
I saw you, the work that you were doing trying to plant more wildflowers.
Like, right. You were helping your mom last week. I think that was so cool.
Yeah, they were good. You know, intentionally living, really honestly, because I said it in season one, I don't know if I have 30 minutes, 30 days, or 30 years.
Right.
Whatever time I have is a bonus.
Right.
Every day is a bonus.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't want to do anything that is harmful to other people, but the truth can be harmful.
Yeah.
But the truth is helpful before it's harmful.
Yeah.
I really honestly believe that. So to me, it's more than centering myself. It's also making sure that in that centering, I'm still awake.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think sometimes, like Harley said, you want to just go back in your shell, just put your mm-hmm. head, just tuck it under. And I'm terrified that one little piece of information is enough of a spark to wake up more people.
Right.
Because I do honestly have hope when I say every week that better is possible, that it is possible to fix some of this.
Right.
Yes.
In our lifetimes, in everybody who is alive right now, I feel like it is possible for each of us to start doing something that will change the situation for mm-hmm. the better.
Yeah. I agree. I think we all have our own work cut out for us.
Yeah.
That we can do to help the world be a little bit better than what it is right now.
Yep. Well, this was awesome. even though it was like a terrible topic to talk about. Yeah. But I think the conversation, like I said, has to happen. More people have to be informed. Lori, I hope that we kind of helped you out a little bit too. Yes. With this information. Didn't scare you too much. I know it right. is a very scary thing, but I hope that, again, the show was helpful to you, that it makes your life better in some way, and that it just reminds you, that better is possible.
Yes, absolutely.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for watching.
That's it for this week's show. I'm Lori Scott.
And I'm Sylvia Johnson. And you've been listening to
What's Been Better. A big thank you to Lagan Music, Inc. for providing our music. This show is edited and produced by us, with a little help from our family and friends. We love you all.
We want to hear what's been better for you. To be a guest on the show, send us an email to questions@whatsbeenbetter.com. Or you can find us on Instagram and TikTok at What's Been Better Podcast.
Thanks for listening.